peered closer, and one of the others said, "He looks a bit peaky. I reckon it's all that foreign food." And then the youngest one said, "Nanny, I've told you already there's no such place as Thespia." And then they bickered a bit, and one of the old ones said, "He can't hear us, can he? He's tossing and turning a bit." And the other one said, "You know, I've never been able to get sound on this thing, Esme." And then they bickered some more, and it went cloudy, and then I woke up, he finished lamely. It was horrible, because every time they came close to the bowl, it sort of magnified everything, so all you could see was eyes and nostrils. Howell hoisted himself onto the edge of the narrow bed.
"Funny old things, dreams," he said.
"Not much funny about that one."
"No, but I mean, last night I had this dream about a little bandy-legged man walking down a road," said Howell. "He had a little black hat on, and he walked as though his boots were full of water."
Tom John nodded politely. "Yes," he said. "And?"
"Well, that was it. And nothing. He had this little cane which he twirled, and, you know, it was incredibly..."
Dwarf's voice trailed off. Tom John's face had that familiar expression of polite and slightly condescending puzzlement that Howell had come to know and dread.
"Anyway, it was very amusing," he said, half to himself.
But he knew he'd never convince the rest of the company. If it didn't have a custard pie in it somewhere, they said it wasn't funny. Tom John swung his legs out of bed and reached for his breeches.
"I'm not going back to sleep," he said. "What's the time?"
"It's after midnight," said Howell. "And you know what your father said about going to bed late?"
"I'm not," said Tom John, pulling on his boots. "I'm getting up early." "Getting up early is very healthy. And now I'm going out for a very healthy drink. You can come too," he added, "to keep an eye on me."
Howell gave him a doubting look.
"You also know what your father said about going out drinking," he said.
"Yes, he said he used to do it all the time when he was a lad. He said he'd think nothing of quaffing ale all night and coming home at 5 a.m, smashing windows. He said he was a bit of a royster-doyster, not like these white-livered people today who can't hold their drink."
Tom John adjusted his doublet in front of the mirror and added, "You know, Howell, I reckon responsible behaviour is something you get when you grow older, like varicose veins." Howell sighed. Tom John's memory for ill-judged remarks was legendary.
"All right," he said. "Just the one, though. Somewhere decent."
"I promise."
Tom John adjusted his hat. It had a feather in it.
"By the way," he said, "exactly how does one quaff?"
"I think it means you spill most of it," said Howell.
If the water of the River Ankh was rather thicker and more full of personality than ordinary river water, so the air in the mended drum was more crowded than normal air. It was like dry fog. Tom John and Howell watched it spilling out into the street. The door burst open and a man came through backwards, not actually touching the ground until he hit the wall on the opposite side of the street. An enormous troll, employed by the owners to keep a measure of order in the place, came out dragging two more limp bodies which he deposited on the cobbles, kicking them once or twice in soft places.
"I reckon they're roistering in there, don't you?" said Tom John.
"It looks like that," said Howell.
He shivered. He hated taverns. People always put their drinks down on his head. They scurried in quickly while the troll was holding one unconscious drinker up by one leg and banging his head on the cobbles in search for concealed valuables. Drinking in the drum has been likened to diving in a swamp, except that in a swamp, the alligators don't pick your pockets first. 200 eyes watched the pair as they pushed their way through the crowd to the bar. 100 mouths paused in the act of drinking, cursing or pleading, and 99 brows crinkled with the effort of working out whether the newcomers fell into category A, people to be frightened of, or B, people to frighten. Tom John walked through the crowd as though it was his property, and with the impetuosity of youth rapped on the bar. Impetuosity was not a survival trait in the mended